Beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, please turn with me to Leviticus 2. Leviticus 2. And if you turn to Leviticus 2 and you look at verse 13, the Word of God says, "And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." This morning I want to exhort us on salt. I was reading this verse as we were studying for our covenant teaching at our fellowship group. And I got to thinking about the idea of salt in the covenant. And I thought, this is a great thing for us to kind of talk about. You know, I like salt. I expect you to too. I think everybody likes salt. You know, a lot of people are going to give, salt's been getting a bad rap lately. You know, I think it's kind of a bad rap. I like salt. I like salt's interesting. It's kind of a simple little thing. You know, in the English language, salt has two different meanings. There's a salt that's a generic term. We talk about just table salt. In chemistry, it actually means that it's an ionic compound that results from the neutralization of an acid and a base. And there are lots and lots of salts. But, of course, the word here in Leviticus is referring to just plain ordinary salt, which is sodium chloride, if you're into chemistry. So there's a technical definition of salt, and there's a colloquial definition of salt. And when the Bible speaks in this terminology, typically, a lot of times, I guess, it's a colloquial definition. It's just salt. It's just the normal everyday salt that everybody uses. Of all the salts in the world, sodium chloride outweighs all the rest of the salts by a long shot. Just because of what's in the oceans, et cetera. We live with salt. We have to have salt. If you don't have salt, you'll actually die. So let's look at Leviticus 2:13 a minute. God is very particular here. He says, "You shall not allow, and with all your offerings, you shall put salt." He tells us here that we are not to have an offering that is lacking in salts. All offerings. Now, what's here mentioned here specifically is grain. The King James word uses the word meat, but all the other translations say that it's actually grain. Meat is a generic term in the King James. It actually means grain offering, but it does say in all offerings, it is to be added with salt. In fact, if you look at Ezekiel 43:24, you'll find that in the figurative description of the future temple of God, it describes and the priest giving the offering of bulls and goats and rams, and God says then, he says, "When you offer them before the Lord, the priest shall throw salt on them. And they will offer them up as burnt offerings before the Lord." Even the offerings that were to be burnt up were always to have salt. You know, salt really, when you start studying, it's a very interesting substance. If you're even, you know, uniquely interested in these kinds of things, I mean, it has a lot of unique properties. Salt is really the only rock that we actually eat. Salt is made up of individual components of sodium and chloride, which separated actually are dangerous. But when you combine them in their ionic form in salt, it's actually good for you. The Egyptians would use salt in embalming. The Ethiopians would actually use salt bars as their currency. The very presence of salt in our body regulates the water content. Salt has been very big in history. There was, in a lot of you heard of Mahatma Gandhi, In 1930, the British government tried to impose a tax on salt, and that was one of the bigger. You've probably seen some of the pictures of Gandhi and his nonviolent protests. That had its root in salt. A lot of people use salt in their bathing additives, you know, their additives. Everybody likes salt in their bath. Cosmetic products use salt. You know, the ocean has lots and lots of salt in it. And they actually, the salinity levels in the oceans actually vary from one place to another, as much as one-third to one-fifth. But if you look at the Dead Sea, the salinity level is 10 times what it is in the ocean. You ever seen pictures of people in the Dead Sea? They actually float. You know, salt in water actually makes you float more. So you can actually float on top of the water in the Dead Sea. You know, you have to have salt. If you don't have salt, your thyroid won't even function properly. But of course, if you eat too much salt, you get hypertension. You get even cancer. We use salt for pickles. All sorts of things. In fact, I found an article describing 60 different ways to use salt in your house. I mean, there's just salt is just used everywhere. You can use it to scrub off burned milk off a pan. You can use it to shell pecans easier. Clean up spilled eggs. Never even thought about that one. It's a really good idea. If you spill an egg, you pour salt on it. In fact, I found a book on Amazon by a guy. It's a recent book. It's Salt, A World History. Whole book on the history of salt. I thought, that looks like a really cool book, so I actually got it. It's only $6. Wars have been fought over salt. And to this day, it's still a very lucrative business. Salt is very big. So back to the question, why did God require salt in his offerings? Well, one, it's a preservative. Matthew 5:13. Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing and to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I remember when we used to live in California, we used to go out to the beach in Del Mar. And this is when I began to notice, have you ever noticed the difference between a salt marsh and a freshwater marsh? Salt marshes are actually quite beautiful. If you go and look, you know, you go and walk around in these marshes, and the salt water has a way to kind of preserve it. You don't get as much moss, and the fish are like swimming around. The water's very clean and clear, and it's really kind of neat. It's very beautiful. So salt preserves. It really preserves. In fact, Jesus is saying here that we are to be this salt. We are to be this preservative wherever we are. We're to preserve godliness wherever we find ourselves. Preserving and establishing the good that we do find. Salt is also just good. God just says it's good. In Luke 14:34, he says, salt is good. But if the salt loses its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? You know, table salt actually can be made up as little as 60% sodium chloride. In fact, in ancient days, the poor would have to get salt from places in the rocks. And of course, the rich would have the pure salt, but the poor would end up with just the rocks that were mixed with the salt. And so if you're a fisherman or something, you'd get your salt from these mines. It would be mixed with a lot of rocks and you'd use it to preserve your fish. But after a while, the salt would begin to dissolve out of the rock and you wouldn't be left with much salt. And then you'd be just left with rocks. You'd kind of start to notice that it wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. And so you'd have to take it and throw it out. Well, Jesus says that it's so useless, you're not even supposed to throw it on your dunghill, your compost pile, because those rocks would have enough salt in it would actually inhibit the compost process. So you can't even do that. You don't even throw it in your dunghill. So you throw it out on the road where people trod on it and trample on it, because then it'll maybe at least keep the weeds down. That's about the best it's good for after it's lost its saltiness. And he uses that as a figure to warn us. Don't lose your saltiness. If you're not working to get the impurities out of your life, you'll find you'll begin to lose your saltiness. You're going to lose your effectiveness. You know, you're going to be left with just the rock. the hard rock of sin, a hard, rocky heart. If you're not working to preserve your life and to bring out the impurities in your life and others' lives, you're going to lose your saltiness. You're going to be left with just rock that isn't good for much. Jesus says it's hardly good for anything. So we don't want to lose our saltiness and we don't lose our profitability. God also says to put salt in our offering because it seasons. Colossians 4:6 says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to love one another. Who doesn't like to season with salt? I mean, even God tells us in Job 6:6 that it is good to eat food with salt. And it's not good to eat food without it. Our speech is to be seasoned with the salt of grace, it says. This means we're to deal with each other on the basis of grace. And grace means that we give people what they don't deserve. You don't give them what they deserve. You give them what they don't deserve. You treat them like who they are. Children of the living God. And at the very least, perhaps just created in God's image. You know, and salt also purifies. In 2 Kings 2:21, it tells a story about how one of the first miracles Elisha did was to purify the waters of Jericho with salt. Now, obviously, it was a miraculous thing, but it purifies. You know, there are even salt air purifiers. In fact, you can even use salt to make your coffee less bitter. Put a little salt in your coffee, and it'll actually bind with the impurities and draw them out, and it'll actually settle to the bottom. You know, there's actually kind of a neat story about John Payton. Those of you who read the John Payton book, he tells a story about how they dug this well, and they dug all these wells trying to make sure that they were going to get a well that wasn't salt watered. And they finally found a well after they prayed, and there's kind of a neat story that goes along with it. I won't tell the whole thing, but they found this well, and it had just a touch of salt to it. And he said, even in his later life, that he always had to put a touch of salt in his tea, because he was so used to having his tea with just a little bit of salt in it. Our minds and our hearts need to be purified with the means of grace and the salt of God's word, the salt of the God, preaching of God's word, the sacrament, the reading of his word, praying, meditating. You know, apparently God wants us salted. He wants us to be salted when we come to him. And we do that by a few different ways. We do that first by realizing that only the Spirit of God can purify us by putting the blood of the Son upon us and drawing out our impurities and then acting accordingly. You know, if the Spirit of God is working in us like this, we will be motivated then to purify our lives from the dross of sin. You know, I found this one neat story. You know, in the ancient days, they would have these salt masters because salt was so important and so valuable. They would actually be salt masters. And one of the things they would do is they would take the salt and they would boil in these big pans. And they would start boiling out all the salt, trying to get all the salt into the water, into solution. And then there would be all these impurities. And they would literally take, get this, they would take a drop of blood and put it in the water. And the blood would interact with the impurities and with the salt and would draw it to the surface. And then they would skim off the dross and be just left with the pure salt water. In a similar way, the blood of Christ draws off our impurities. We are to let the salt of the covenant melt our icy hearts. That's something else we use salt for. We melt our driveways. It's to melt our icy hearts so that we can worship and that the worship of our mouths may flow. We are to season our speech with salt so that the bitterness may be removed. We are told to bring a sacrifice of praise in Jeremiah 33:11. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who will bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of our God? For I will cause the captives of the land to return at first. If we bring this sacrifice of praise to him this morning, let us season it with salt. So yes, indeed, let us say to one another, please pass the salt. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you, Lord, for these various images that you bring in your word. And we do pray, Lord, that you would purify our hearts, that you would motivate us to purify our hearts. How this works, we don't know. But Lord, we thank you that you purify us in principle, that we can come before you. And we pray, Lord, that we would put aside the normal thoughts, the normal concerns, the worries, the frets, the sin, the bitterness, those impurities in our life, Lord, that spoil things. And may the salt of your grace, may the salt of your word work in us, so work in us, Father, that we may worship you and that our worship may flow, Father. May your name be praised and glorified here this day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.